Ross has all the spring deals you want, so you can say yes to more looks for you and your budget. Tube tops for less? Yes. Dad shorts for the weekend? Yes. Mini skirts for less than online? That's a yes for you and your bank account. Find your certified yes for me moment and save 20 to 60% off department store prices every day at Ross. Hurry in for spring deals today. Items and styles vary by store.
Here's to the best spring ever in this season's must-have shoes. Find all the styles you need from brands you love at amazing prices right now at DSW. Update your closet with colorful sandals made for sunny days, fresh sneakers perfect for spring looks, and sporty soles ready for new adventures. Whatever you're up to this spring, DSW has the exact right pair for the occasion. Shop must-have spring shoes at your DSW store and DSW.com.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Fly, fly, oughta be a fly.
There. Our house is a communion cup. Come on in and we'll turn your wine into blood. I'm your neighborhood friendly black girl, Amber.
And I'm a flaccid reader, Ben, because I fall asleep while reading. Because flaccid means that you're not
limp.
Stiff.
Oh, so I know what flaccid means, Ben. So do you. Anyway, welcome to Fly on the Wallin. We're here to share our stories of dating, parenting, and what happens when you record it all for the world to see. How are you doing today?
I mean, I'm not flaccid. I'm sitting upright. So, you know, flaccid, its main connotation is like the stiffness of a penis.
But well, I thought it was the limpness of a penis.
Or... Yeah, so, well, there's stiffness. So even if it's limp, there's a level of stiffness to it, the penis. So there's, because limp just means limp always, but stiff can be, have a range. There's light stiffness could still be limp.
I do believe the question was, how are you doing?
I'm upright.
Oh, you're erect.
I'm erect, man. I'm also annoyed because we're missing Wild's story time today. So, but this was the time for us to record, so.
Wild story time be missing Wild story time, Ben.
They had a substitute that was pretty good.
Last week.
Yeah, but she's trying. They always try. You know, they read books. And it's about community. It's about her enjoying other kids, seeing other kids, interacting with other children.
She's got one scheduled for Wednesday, and we're catching a flight.
Yes,
that's okay.
Monday and Wednesday, so she's missing all library story time.
Why don't we get into this?
I'm going to have to go to the library sometime today, return all the library books, and restock, reshelve.
Is this a show, or this you just ranting about?
You said how I was. So how are you doing? I know. You should be doing great. You have so many good reasons to be happy.
Like what?
You had a great photo shoot.
Did I? Yes, I did. I did have a good photo shoot, but it was a little bit of chaos. This has been a very exasperating week for both of us, so I did want to just check in before the show. But my spirits are high. I have a lot of gratitude for my family. Even though
you got dinner last night with a friend,
I did. We got crab legs, and they were delicious.
You
and
you came
some
back
scrimps.
Smelling like crab legs. I gave you a hug, and it was just a whiff of boil. You smelled like a whole boil.
I did, but then at
under
one point,
the sea.
At one point, did I told you this when I got home about this guy who I ran into near the bathroom, and he was getting on my freaking nerves.
Yeah,
I'll tell y'all this real quick. I went to get crab legs with my friend. They were delicious, but as you know, your hands get all sticky or whatever. So I go to the bathroom line, and at this restaurant, essentially the women's line and the men's line are like in close proximity, and the men's had a line. So there's this guy who had dinner with his friend, so they were both going to the bathroom at the same time. They were not dating, this guy and this girl. But you can tell they were friends because he was just very casually talking to her. And I was right behind them in the line. So I was overhearing him just being absolutely ridiculous. He was complaining about his baby mama wanting some of his money, you know, the mother of his child. So it's just been a long time where I have been a space where people were saying things like, and then the bitch called me and she says she hungry. She says her lights cut off. And then she want money from me. It's like, you should have figured that shit out. So I gave her $50 today just to hold her over. And I remember thinking, I was like, I cannot stomach this conversation right now. And the girl in the line was just as bad as him. She was very pick-me girl energy. She was like, I mean, she knew the risk she ran when she decided to sleep with you. I mean, why can't you take care of the baby? I was like, it literally, if I'm not sure if y'all are familiar with Mel Mitchell. She's a comedian. She is hilarious. We've actually had lunch a few times when she comes to LA. And she basically has a parody of a podcast where people, it's like, you know, toxic masculinity and the girl that's like, because these females shouldn't have been opening their legs. It was literally a scene out of that at this bathroom. And he was complaining that the mother of his child was calling him because she's poor and her lights are off. And she was just looking for a few funds to help continuing to raise his child. I was like, I'm getting nauseous listening to this conversation. So do you ever think about how long it's been since you've been in a room present for like outlandish conversations? Yeah. Like it wasn't even a bit. He was like, so I gave her $50. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, we're eating crab legs that are $42 a pound. And I'm sure you didn't get just 1 pound. So it's like, I'm sorry, you could take your little friend out for crab legs, but you can't give your baby mama $50 to get her lights cut on. How dare you? $50 in LA? That's nothing. So I was just infuriated. I was like, just like trying to clean underneath each of my nails. And I just, at one point I wanted to yell like, just give her all your money. Why you should have chosen better someone to partner with. I didn't even know what to do. I just was like looking at the ground, infuriated.
I mean, yeah, at that point you take out a notebook, you start writing or start recording surreptitiously without their permission. Because you sound that ignorant, then you should be recorded and blasted on the internet.
And of course, I've heard men complain about the mothers of their children.
Yeah.
But it's typically like,
me. I complain about them.
Yes. It's typically like, you got your nails done, your hair done, your lashes done.
And
now you still want my money.
You bought a Gucci watch.
Right. You got Gucci slides on. But that was the first time in a long time I heard a man be like, and then she's poor and she's sleeping on the floor and she's eating, you know, every couple of days, and then she wants my money. What is
she's
that? What's
this?
Is that? she's sleeping on a foam for a piece of mattress. She just got evicted, and then she wants money. I was like, what is this conversation right now?
Yeah,
it made me so sad for whoever this woman is, just trying to get by.
We don't interact with people like that, and if there's even a close proximity of someone, of us possibly interacting with someone like that, we cut them.
And I'm not even
Amber cuts people very quickly. She'll cut people for showing up 2 hours late to something.
I certainly will. Well, here's the thing, Ben. Like, it's not even I actively don't have any male friends in my life who are fathers who don't love caring for their child. You know, even if I have friends who are single moms who, you know, co-parent with the father of their child. But I have never heard the father of those children complain that they had to give my friend money.
Yeah.
You know.
Those people exist. We sort of have the luxury of cutting those kinds of people out.
Yeah.
I forget that there are very mean people out there.
Yeah.
For example,
or
I was just scrolling.
Estranged fathers. Or I have single mom friends who have zero contact with the father.
Estranged.
So I don't. But I am not privy to a co-parent dynamic where a man is just actively complaining. But it happens, obviously. So that was just like the first time in a long time I heard a man complaining about having to help his baby's mama out.
Philip K. Dick would always write these stories of these people walking through the same reality or like physical space, but living in alternate realities. And so that's sort of how we live now. We forget that people believe that a woman, if she has a kid, should be the primary caretaker and the man should be able to do whatever he wants, or that it's a very common belief amongst groups of people that a man has the right to have sex with as many women that he wants, but a woman should only have sex with like one man, which mathematically that doesn't make sense.
And I was more infuriated with the girl he was with, who was just continuing to be like, I mean, she should have known when she had sex with you, like, this is probably going to be the lifestyle that she lived. I was
right,
like,
because
what?
That's the kind of person you are or something. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
I just came here to eat some shrimp, and now I'm hearing this toxicity. What did you do last night where I was out?
I made the outline for this podcast.
Oh, great.
And then I ate some food, watched Rick and Morty. She said, fine.
Exciting things.
I sat around on the couch, waiting for you to get home, being lonely.
Did you miss me? Ooh.
Sorry.
You okay?
Yeah.
All right. You want to jump into the show since I just had to get that rant off my chest?
Yeah, yeah.
I should what?
You should, next time you see someone like that, you should throw water on them. Because when I was a kid and I would bite people, my mom like threw water on me once. Like,
but I didn't bite them and they didn't bite me.
But
they didn't mean to bite
me. It was
a
way to like stop a behavior. So I believe tossing a water on anybody will stop their behavior.
Oh, you've been watching some like Housewives, huh? So
just
so
throw
the next
water
time
on anybody.
I hear a man complaining about giving his mother
it,
his
it will
baby's
definitely
mom money,
change the conversation.
I should just throw a glass of water on him.
It'll change the conversation.
What are my words after I toss this glass of water on a stranger?
It could be like, you know, you gotta fix it. Fix it.
wait. Okay, so fix it is a horrible line.
Janet
after
Jackson.
Yeah, I want you to do that again. Fix it is a horrible line after you throw water on somebody. There should be like a fire pun. It's like, I had to put this
fire out.
This shit fire out. I'm so sorry, sir. I had to put a baby daddy fire out.
A baby daddy fire.
Yeah, maybe that's the name of the show. I don't know. But go do your impression again.
Fix it. Because you a bitch and you always gonna be a little bitch.
And that, I'm gonna give y'all 30 seconds to guess what movie that was.
It's, I think, a man who's done phenomenal things for the black communities.
Who?
In black film.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Well, I thought you were gonna name who the movie was and who did the quote. That's why I was like, Janet Jackson is not a man.
Tyler Perry.
Perry. Yes.
Is his name middle name
no,
Tyrone?
I just gave it that.
Yep.
It gives Tyrone energy.
We'll fix it in post.
We'll fix it in post. Yes, that was, I think it was Why Did I Get Married 2, the ending where there was, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. Yeah, she like finds a way to embarrass her husband who she's breaking up with at the end of the movie by hiring a gay man to pop out of a cake at his job so that everybody thinks he's gay. And then he runs away from that embarrassing incident.
He's like so ashamed.
He's so ashamed that she would embarrass him at work that he gets in his car, drives out into the street, and is immediately hit by another car, which ends up killing him. And everybody else, when they later meet at the hospital, Janet is telling them to fix their marriages because she just ended her marriage. She just ended this man's life by hiring a gay male escort to pop out of a cake.
And, well, not even an escort. It was just a go-go dancer.
A go-go dancer. It was like a sexy moment. Anyway, fix it. You did a really good. You actually did a way better impression than me. That was so good.
Call me Janet.
Call you Janet. Miss Jackson, if you're nasty. Let's hop into the show real quick. Special shout out to all those of you who support us on Patreon. You can support us on Patreon for $1, $2, $5 a month. The information is in the episode notes. And that is also where you can see our now film festival selected documentary, We're Pregnant and Other Lies. So head on over to Patreon if you like this show and want to continue to support. So let's hop right into our first segment, hashtag influenced. What is this segment about, Ben?
We talk about influencing and all the wonderful ins and outs of it. So this week, it was a really great week for influencing. We heard of this fantastic brand deal, and then 3 days later, it was due. And so we had to sort of throw together this whole experience. And so if you ever go into influencing or if you've ever worked in that industry, what will happen is that someone will get a certain amount of money, a third party will be hired by a brand, and this third party has a budget. And so what will happen, they might go under budget, so then they can bring in influencers last minute to sort of continue with a deal. But if you're doing a tight turnaround because you're doing some sort of like sweepstakes, or if you're doing some sort of Final Four, basketball, so relevantly timely, you want the content moved really quickly. So Amber, this is one of the situations where it was for an event, and so Amber had to get this material out super quickly.
Within like 24 to 48 hours, yeah. And it was kind of a nightmare.
It was annoying, but the thing is, like, one brand deal can sort of last you for a month.
Yes,
you know?
I'm not complaining about the finances.
So you got to work quickly. So you got to drop at some points. You got to drop everything. So, that might mean, like, you miss your kid's swim lesson. You miss your kid's library story time because that's the money that you use to pay for the swim lessons. So you drop everything. You got to get a babysitter. And then the other thing, Amber wrote a script that like required things that we did not have. Like,
yes, that was my fault. Well, here's the thing about it. So, yeah, this is going to be a nice little peek behind the curtain sometimes, because I pride myself on being very professional.
She is.
When brands reach out to me, I like to come up with a script. They approve the script. We shoot, because what you never want as an influencer is to have to reshoot something, especially the way our lives are set up now, because we're doing things back to back to back. So when a brand asks for a reshoot, that's not just a reshoot. That's like, okay, let me call and rebook the babysitter. Let me make sure she can watch the dog. So, let me go get my armpits waxed again.
I gotta explain, because a brand will say, we would like a concept. And a lot of influencers will write like 3-4 sentences.
Right. I don't do that. I'm a
Amber
director.
Writes a fucking script with like pictures of the
sound
camera
effect,
shot.
Cues, yeah. Action
and so
shots,
she, because Amber
dialogue.
Doesn't like to reshoot things. She likes to do everything in pre-production, and she doesn't want to fix it in post, unlike Tyler Perry. He like fix it in post. He fixes everything in post. Just watch Atlanta. You'll know what I'm talking about. It's a reference to the Tyler Perry episode. Very good. So Amber writes this whole thing, and in there she like includes pictures that are professional pictures. And I was like, why are you showing this picture? We don't got that kind of like eye, for a picture. But Amber,
don't have an eye for a picture, but I feel like okay, fellow black girls out there, because I feel like this is a black girl thing. When I am called to do a job and I'm getting paid well to do that job, I want to put my best foot forward. So if you're asking for a picture for the job, or you're asking for a certain feel to the shoot, I try my best to achieve at the highest level, because I treat these mini brand deal things as essentially like director and production things for the future, because I do in the future want to be an established director, filmmaker, whatever. So even if
you already are.
Thank
a
you,
filmmaker.
But I want to be more established and well known for that. So even when I am given a small task, it's like, hey girl, we want you to go sell this sunscreen. I'm like, ooh, well, where would I be using sunscreen? At a beach. I'm going to write this script at a beach or
even
at a
pool.
Even though
we live 45 minutes away from a beach.
Because it matters. Because or at least let me be spraying myself in the morning on our morning walk. Something that feels very authentic to me. I put a lot of effort into grounding the scene in things that are authentic to our lives. Mm-hmm. And I know that every influencer doesn't do that, but I'm not trying to be an influencer forever.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm trying to,
Could be an influencer forever because you organize yourself so well. Like we have influencer friends who don't write anything.
No, they're like, I sent them 3 bullet points and go, yeah.
I just recorded it and sent it to them immediately. And then they get all this notes and then they got to re-record it.
Where yeah, but Amber I see brand deals as mini script writing opportunities. Mm-hmm.
Good practice in that.
So Ben is making fun of me because I set this shoot at a pool and I didn't have a pool. So then I had to call my friend and ask, can I shoot at his pool? And he's like, well, I don't get out of my meeting until, and it was kind of a mess. It was not just a mess because of the brand. It was a mess because of what I wanted.
Yeah.
But are you telling me to want less? Is that what you're saying on the mic?
No, it's just one of those things where you can decide with influencing. You have a certain level of followers, and whether your followers are like watching your content or not is not really, is the only thing that matters. So if your content is crunchy, but you get followers for that, you can maintain your crunchiness. But there's a level of, I felt like, Amber, you pivoted a little bit. You're like, I want a professional picture. I was like, when have we ever posted professional pictures like that?
Well, we don't get a lot of static IG posts requests.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that was the other thing is part of this deal is that depending on your rate is determinant on, you know, whether you're, you know, producing a reel, which is for Instagram, a TikTok, which is for TikTok, or a YouTube short. Some brands will pay you for YouTube shorts,
yeah,
or a YouTube long form video, or a static post on Instagram. So just a picture. And so based on that, your rate's going to change, right?
Right.
And a lot of people don't realize that. So yeah, you don't always get a lot of static post, like funny pictures, which right. You could probably do more funny pictures.
Like, I could. Silly. I'm bad at taking pictures.
I think you're fine at taking pictures.
I'm talking.
Like, what do you mean by bad? I think you mean by bad that you don't do the professional, like sleek looking, you know, touched up, glam type of pictures.
No. You're talking about filters.
Yeah.
Now I don't do filters a lot, but some people really do have an eye for taking pictures well and taking angles well and seeing like, oh, the sun is hitting here perfectly. This is the perfect moment for a static shot. If you look through my phone, I have a gajillion videos. And some people are like, I do not do videos well. I don't do editing well.
Well, you just never practice taking pictures.
I know, but I don't like, I like the.
You prefer.
I like a 30-second looping video. I think I can tell a more powerful story in a video. I know I can do it in a picture, but I don't have an eye for capturing.
You've
a
never
story
practiced
in a
picture. It. I think this week we should take a bunch of pictures and try to come up with some funky, cool ideas. We're taking pictures through a water bottle or something, playing with the light, or like you can do a silly.
We can try. My sister's very, very good at taking pictures, but I am.
You know,
and then I'll ask you to take my picture, and I get it back, and it's blurry as hell. I'm like, come on, you didn't see this. You didn't see my hair piece all out the way. It's like a little stuff like that.
I really like Meg Salter. She takes these really silly, like stupid pictures. Meg Salter is a Chicago comedian who
she's in LA now, though.
Is in LA and is on Hacks. Her comedy is just so bonkers and silly. She's doing really interesting things with comedy where she'll like walk in and just start shaking everybody's hand and just pretend to be like a newly married woman. And if you know Meg Salter, she's like super gay. She just does weird, weird shit. And it's not like, devaluing anybody. It's not stand-up, and we think of stand-up. But her pictures, I think, are so crunchy and so like sloppy and so funny. And I think that you could probably bring that element. But what I found sort of frustrating working with you this week was Amber went and hired a photographer, which she didn't get a budget to hire, so she just took out whatever pay she got from this money to do the shoot. So she hired a photographer because you were looking through the static photos of this brand. You're like, oh, this is so good. I was
yes,
like,
because
but that's
the
not
brand
you.
Yes, but the brand sent, we would like pictures similar to this, and those were professional. And yeah. and looking back, I definitely should have just taken the pictures of my own.
I think because we were going
to print.
Yeah, so we were going through pictures that you took in Paris, and some of those pictures were really good. Like, you could take good pictures. I think
what
it's so
pictures
funny.
What were taken in Paris?
You know
that
you
were
should,
good. I took so
you
many
took
videos.
A picture of it was me and our friend who had come to visit us. We were sitting at one of the nice restaurants we really enjoyed. It was like Le Mart.
Okay.
And it was just a very beautiful picture. The sun hit it right. It had a clarity to it. And that was not professionally done. So what I think I see with you, Amber, sometimes is that you'll see sort of a optimum or a professionally done thing, like whether it's a picture or a video, and you'll say, oh, I can't do that. That's the first thing. And then you're like, I need to find someone to help me do that because I can't do that. So I often see you saying, the first thing you'll say is, I can't do that. And then you have to convince yourself that you can do it. Where some people will think, oh, I can do that, but they should really convince themselves that, no, they need help doing it. You're the inverse.
I also think...
Do you think that's true?
This is what I think.
Do you think, no, do you think that's
I'm
true?
I'm responding. Can I respond?
Yeah, yeah.
You gonna let me respond?
It's a yes or no question. Do you think...
Can I respond?
Yeah, go for it.
I think I can do it. I don't have the time to do it. I don't have the time to write the script, memorize the lines, set up the shoot, style myself, style you, potentially style the baby, then take the picture, then edit the picture, then edit the video. I don't have time to do it all. So what I try to do is
say... So you can't do it because you don't have time?
Yeah, because, that's still an excuse. Well, what I'll try to do is I'll try to outsource it to somebody, because that's what you do when you don't have time to do things. You say, I don't have time to go to the grocery store. Let me outsource an Instacart. I don't have time to clean my home. Let me outsource and ask somebody to clean it. What's frustrating is when you outsource it and they don't do a good job. So then you end up having to do it anyway, or you end up with a worse output.
Worse is correct. That's how
so what I'm telling you I should have done is... I should have done it myself, and you should have taken on something else. So I think and we're going to leave this topic in a minute, and I'm not upset about it. I just wish sometimes I should have outsourced something else to you. I have the confidence. I'm running out of time. If somebody's asking me to do something in 24 hours, I need all hands on deck. And when that was happening, no shade, as soon as the shoot was over, you went over and made some friends and were talking to them. So I was like, well, even if I maybe did have the time, you maybe in the moment should have said, and I was probably being bossy boots, you maybe in the moment should have said, like, Amber, I'm going to take 3 pictures of you right now. When your photographer comes, he can take some more. But if these work, let's go. Let's just send them. Mm. But you grabbed the product, went over there and hung out with friends.
No, I said, I was like, do you want me to take pictures?
And then
like,
I was texting the babysitter, and then I was texting whatever. So sometimes it's like, I think if I have a list of 10 things to do, it's not that I don't think I can't do them all well. It's that I don't think I have time to do all 10 well. So that's when you need to look at that list with me, and I need to do a better job of asking you for that help to say, like, here are 10 things on my list. Which one of these do you think you can take on so I can prioritize this one?
Okay, so in this situation, I said, I was like, I don't think you need a photographer to do this.
But you said it after I had hired the person.
No.
After we were there.
I told you before. I was like,
You were on the shoot saying we don't need it.
It was the day before. It was like 2 days before.
I have no evidence of that.
I'm going to start telling you. I told you. It doesn't matter. I mean, you're saying I didn't tell you because you later came back and you said, you know, I should have listened to what you said.
Yes, but you have a tendency to... Let's get into it. You have a tendency to say we should have done this as we're doing the this.
No, this situation,
you know, you do that all the time.
I was like, you do not
and
need
your mama.
A professional. I was like, why are you writing that you're going to hire someone to take a professional picture of you when they're not giving you the budget?
Because
listen, if a brand hires you,
I didn't have time to take it and edit it. Yeah.
Yes, you did.
I feel like you're not listening to me.
You think you don't have the time. Why do you think you don't have the time, but you always have the time.
Do you see how you can choose to help me make more time, and you're just like, find the time? So can we agree to disagree? Give me your hand. Can we say, everybody in the car is like, oh, shit, popcorn. Can we, if you are trying to convince me that I have more time to do things, can you help me find that time?
Yeah, I can help you.
Can you say, like, you don't have to worry about baby, dog, household stuff. You go find the time.
Yeah, that's
and
the
you do
thing,
that a lot. You do
is that
a lot.
Amber thinks she got to do everything.
You just you're contradicting yourself because you just said, but you could have done that.
Well, so I think you could have done it, but then what you think is that, oh, I couldn't have done that and then do these 6-7 other things. Where I'm like, you could have done this very specific task on your own, but they're like, well, I had to do this.
Well, I'm asking, are you going to do 6, 7, 8?
Yeah.
So I can do one.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So I will make a commitment to believe in myself more. If you can help me do the other things so I can give my time to believe myself, time to believe myself. Mm-hmm. Because I know I can do it.
Yeah.
I just need, like, it, the same thing happened with the documentary. I, like, hired an editor to do it at first, and they kind of phoned it in. So I ended up having to do it myself, which actually ended up being the best thing for me.
Yeah, it was.
And I needed you to say, like, you have to take care of this baby so that I can do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think
so. The
sometimes
next time this happens,
Amber
with
sees.
A brand,
I talk about you third person, but I sometimes.
No, I'm in the damn room.
You see, like, all the billion things you got to do. And I'm like, no, you can just focus on, you got to hone in on the one thing. And sometimes Amber I'll notice this. Sometimes you'll ask me to do something and I'll start to do it. And then you'll say, can you do this, these like three other things? I was like, let me just finish this thing right here. Because I think Amber sees more of a holistic project and the overwhelmingness of it all, where I'll be like, I have to do this one specific thing, where you'll, I think a good metaphor for this is that when you do laundry, for example, is you do like 7-8 loads and until it's all done. And then now we have about, you know, 6-7 loads of clean laundry just piled up, where it's a little bit easier if you do like one load, put it away, move on to the next load.
Yeah, but what gets us there? You're like, have you seen my clean underwear? I don't have any clean underwear. I'm like, okay, well, I open your closet and it's piles of dirty clothes. So I have piles of the clean, but you got piles of the dirty. So you wait to do the task until you are in desperado mode. I don't like to do that. I like to be like, let me get it. If I have a chunk of time, let me do as much laundry as I can and then come back to it. Whereas you're like,
I'll do half of my dirty clothes and then fold them and then I'll wait for the next. Where you'll take the whole bin down.
I like to do a laundry day. Yeah,
laundry
I like to do. I like,
I don't
to do
like
it.
Laundry day.
Because, but I don't
like little chunk. I like chunking it a little bit more for me. That's
yeah,
how my
your chunk
works.
Is like do it 1 week, 3 weeks later, do it. That's your chunk.
That's not my chunk.
That is your chunk.
Speaking of my chunk,
little chunk at the house.
Man, we're gonna have to. Circle
okay, wait.
Back
can
to
we
this.
Conclude? What we're concluding that?
Yeah, we're concluding.
In conclusion, I can do more than I'm giving myself credit for.
I think you get intimidated by professionalism.
In conclusion. Okay, tell me what I need to work on, and I'm going to tell you what you need to work on. That's how we go conclude.
I need you to start looking at how you can do this successfully instead of I can't do it. So look at the how instead of the can't.
But I did it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about...
I never don't do it.
I think sometimes you enter into a mode of like a moment of self-defeat. You're like, I can't get this done. I'm not going to be able to get this done. I need someone to help me. I need someone to take my picture. I need an assistant. I need this. I need that. And I'm like, okay, we'll get there. But right now, let's look at how we can do it with the tools that we have now.
And you're going to help out with the tools. Like if there's a list.
Man, I'm your biggest tool.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I'm your Swiss Army pocket knife, baby.
But the corkscrew bent, the knife need to be sharpened.
All right, sometimes you gotta.
Magnifying glass been bit off by the dog. I'm just kidding. You're great.
That's so fucked up.
You believe it? This is the thing.
That's really funny though.
And you kind of believe in me more than I believe in myself.
I do.
So. I need to believe you when you believe in me.
Yeah, I'm like, you got this. That was the whole.
But you be sitting poolside,
that whole
sipping.
Editing journey, man. Amber was like, sobbing about how she was never
because
gonna
I'm a
be
perfectionist.
Able to
I
finish
want
this documentary. And look, you're going to the Bronze Lens and ATL.
I know. I want to because I am a perfectionist. That's the issue.
We might do a brand deal with a nice hotel. Stay at a nice hotel down there. Have a good time.
I know.
Your mom's gonna come into town.
I think if you're. Shout out to my fellow perfectionists out there. We got issues. We'll psych ourselves out, but we'll get it done, and then it is like fire. Yeah.
I mean, there are some things you're still behind on because you're such a perfectionist. So.
Like what? Trying to conclude this. I keep trying to end on a high, beautiful note. And your goal is to keep us know you need work. Let's finish talking about it.
She does need
work. Can we move on to other people's marriage problems?
Let's do the quickly.
Hi, I'm Ariana Maddox. You probably know me from TV, or maybe you read my best-selling book and tried one of my amazing cocktails, or maybe you saw me on Broadway. What I can say is following dreams is kind of my thing. But of all the things I'm lucky enough to get to do, the thing that I get asked about the most are my shoes. What's my secret? DSW. DSW is the best place to get all the shoes you need from brands you love. Trust me, I'm obsessed. In fact, I love DSW so much, I've teamed up with them to create a collection of shoes from must-have sandals to super cool sneakers that are guaranteed to get compliments. Because if I've learned anything, it's that if you've got big dreams to follow, you're gonna need some really great shoes. Find the shoes of your dreams when you shop my new collection now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Yeah, give me one sentence on our baby.
Imperfect parent. This is the section of the show we talk about parenting.
Thank you for believing in me.
I do believe in you a lot. So we talk about parenting and just raising a kid. So we bought Wild a tricycle, and it was a great buy. You ended up pushing it around. You get to steer it. Can you just, before we move on to the do's and don'ts of relationships, can you just tell me that I was right in buying a tricycle instead of the Fiat that you wanted to buy? You wanted to buy this little toy car. And tell me all the reasons why I was right.
I will wrap this up in one sentence because we already over time, but I'm having fun with you. I originally wanted to buy Wild a pink, a hot pink, almost Barbie-esque Fiat that you push from the back because it's Barbie season. I don't know if you knew that. It's Barbieheimer season. So we're recording this a little bit early, but it's currently Barbie season where we are. So we are not going to get the pink car. We decided to get a Duna. This is not an ad, but a Duna trike, and it folds up. So that, and it's lightweight. So I will concede and say I was wrong, because the Barbie would have outgrown it, and it doesn't collapse. So it would have been like taking up a whole bunch of space and cluttering our garage.
Where do we live?
We live in LA, so there's tons of hills
in the section of LA we live in. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, what are you looking for there? I'm not dropping our address. I'm not dropping our neighborhood.
No, so I'm just saying, yeah, where we live. Okay. LA, there's lots of very flat parts of LA.
We live in East LA, so it's hilly. So I like the trike. It's cute.
Yeah, so sometimes it's important in parenting that you lose a disagreement.
I lost.
You lost. But not only did you lose, but you actually won.
I gained.
By winning, gained. Yeah. By allowing me to win. So there's no win or lose.
I'm saying it. Well, I can admit when I didn't.
But I can see the pain.
Oh yeah.
Eyes are twitching. You're like in pain.
I want that pink car because I like an aesthetic. But you know, you like functionality. Look at your shoes. So you want to move on to the do's and don'ts?
Go for it.
Everybody knows, by looking at your shoes, they can tell that you don't like the finer things. All right. Letter number one. We've acknowledged that our marriage is a mess. Now back to you, Cisco. You know who said that? Back to you, Cisco.
It's like, I don't know.
Beyonce. She was hosting. Oh, she's like a VMA hosting thing. One time.
Oh, I remember. Like Cisco the rapper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they asked her to host again after that, right?
That we have not seen. Well, obviously she's Beyonce, so she's busy doing incredible things. But yeah, we have not seen Beyonce speak into a microphone other than singing or other than a concert. Marriage I do's and I don'ts. Dear Amber and Ben, I've been dating my boyfriend for about 6 months. He's active duty military, and although I respect his job, I sometimes feel like the other woman when it comes to Uncle Sam. I know that I'm serious about marriage sooner rather than later, and we've discussed it often. My concern is that we're not progressing fast enough. Our connection isn't where it should be. Our values align. We have similar goals, outlook, etc. We agree that we could be with each other for the long haul, but there's some space between now and marriage. I've tried to communicate my concerns, but those conversations conclude with us acknowledging that he's establishing himself in his career and prioritizing himself, which is important, although we want to make the relationship work. I feel that I've made our relationship more of a priority than our relationship is to him. I don't think he's a bad person, but I do think our right nows feel mismatched. Am I rushing things? Mm. Initial response.
This person said that we're not progressing fast enough. So my question to that, when someone says a comparison statement such as fast enough, my first question is compared to who? Fast enough compared to who? What, your past relationships? Relationships you see in your friends. 6 months is, for some people, very short. For some people, it's very long. You know, for me, it sounds like a very short 6 months. You know, dating someone is you're still learning that person, especially if you didn't know the person before you started dating them. It's sort of like knowing someone for 6 months. Think of like a friend that you would have in 6 months. I still am learning them. Like, we have friends here that we've known for 8 months, and I wouldn't say that we're like tight, close friends. You know, that's going to have to only occur through like a really terrible traumatic event or like occur. Yeah, because you have to go through a struggle.
I agree.
Or maybe you go travel with them or you see them in a different environment. So yeah. 6 months doesn't seem long. It sounds to me that you're rushing things.
Me too. Yeah. Am I rushing things when we've only been dating 6 months? Especially for marriage.
And active duty military, that 6 months is even shorter because I'm assuming if he's active duty, he's not, y'all are not staying together. He's busy. That's a full time job. That's not a job. That's a lifestyle.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we kind of talked about that last week, I want to say. Like, military wife or cop wife or, I don't know.
Pastor wife.
Pastor wife, yes.
It was a while ago. But my thing is, that is not enough time.
I agree.
Sounds like you're actually, but you seem like you're moving in a mature way.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, why do you think fast enough? Who are you comparing yourself to? Compare yourself to yourself.
Yeah. You know, I like to think about it sometimes. It's hard, Ben, not to compare your relationship to other people's relationships, especially if you see some qualities in other people's relationships and they're progressing and you're not. But I also would task you to think about it as like a job. Like, being with another person is like a second job. There's more income, so there's some pros, but it's also more work. So I would ask myself, if I was on a job for 6 months, would I expect a promotion? That's... Right?
Oh, yeah,
is that a weird analogy? So I was like, so no, after 6 months, maybe everybody in the workroom knows my name now, but I'm still kind of in a trial mode at 6 months.
That's a good way of seeing it. That first year, you're still learning the ins and outs of the industry.
Yeah, if I had been in a job for 5 years and I hadn't moved anywhere in the company, I'd be like, okay, what's going on? But I definitely think... If you're asking for some comparison, we got married after 4 years together,
mm-hmm.
and we've been married 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're asking for some comparison, you're gonna if you ask us, you'll be married in 4 years. But I do think, like Ben said, it's important to get to know somebody, see how they behave in times of grief, in times of challenge, see how they evolve in their career. And I think it's super exciting and motivating when I see my partner wanting to evolve and invest in themselves and their career. I personally think that. So I think you should keep dating your boyfriend, but I do think you should slow down a little bit and mind your expectations. Would you expect a promotion after 6 months? Because marriage is kind of a promotion of a relationship. Yeah?
Yeah.
On to the next letter. Okay, I got a fun little messy one. You ready?
I love mess.
All right, here we go. I got to move it in. You know, grandma can't see. Here we go. Hi, Amber and Ben. My partner and I, we just celebrated our 1 year anniversary, and he posted photos of our trip. A day or so later, this woman messages me, but didn't send proof of anything. And she messages me saying that my boyfriend was essentially flirting with her. I asked for proof, and she responded, "Why would I lie?" Early in our relationship, so they've been together a year, earlier in our relationship, I did catch my boyfriend making inappropriate comments to friends, air quote friends, on social media. I found a comment he made before asking another girl if she was single and if he could change that. We took a break from the relationship, addressed it, and moved forward together. Then a year later, I got a message from some random woman. I ended up confronting my boyfriend, and he let me see his phone. Parts that he would let me see, or she's saying like the parts that he would let me see, that's in parentheticals. He was hesitant to show me that nothing had happened though. Ultimately, I'm choosing to believe him because nothing was there, but it makes me uncomfortable.
Oh, he's cheating. Oh, hell, he's definitely flirting.
Let me put the computer back over here for
No way. No way. Do not believe this man. If there's no reason for someone to just reach out, like, hey, this guy's flirting with me just for you to wear. Is this person just trying to fuck with you? Especially if you don't know them. Like, I would say the simplest solution is someone reaches out to you, like, saying this person's flirting with me and they've had a habit of doing this before, 100%. You should not believe him. And of what? It's so easy to delete shit from your phone. Here's my phone. And, like, yeah, I'll show you my phone. This guy sounds smart, right? He deleted that shit. He's showing it to you, you know?
Yeah, especially if there's so many red flags, sis. I'm so sorry, but if you found in the past that he was commenting on people's pages, hey, are you single? I could change that.
That kind of behavior does not end for people. That is what you would need, some serious repentance. You would need, that is a habit of cheating. That's a lifestyle of cheating. This man enjoys that. I'm sorry, y'all. Yeah. And hold on to that fun vacation you had, but you're not going to have much more.
That's so embarrassing. I get that. I have friends that has happened to. I've had family members, and I've actually, funny enough, you know, obviously people see us on the internet and things like that. So I've definitely had somebody DM me being like, "Hey, sis, is this your man on this app?" And it wasn't you.
Yeah.
But it looked like you, though. I'm like, actually, that looked like my fan. Let me see the profile again. Which was funny. It became a bit. But I do think it's hard when she doesn't provide proof. That is hard.
Because you want to believe that.
Yeah, show me some proof, something. I definitely think he's cheating, but I want to.
This person came and talked. It could have been a flirting and like a... online or something.
Right, but you can show proof of that.
Like, or not online. Not online. Yeah.
Okay, so let me see what she said again. A day or so later, like a day or so after he posted her on, because this woman probably thought he was single, and then he posted the trip pics. A day or so later, this woman messages me.
She didn't send proof.
She didn't send proof. She just claimed that he was messaging her, and she's saying, her boyfriend was asking this woman for photos.
Yeah.
So why can't you just screenshot and say, like, girl, is this your man asking for my photos?
Yeah. I mean, that's
annoying. It feels like the other girl is, like, playing with her a little bit.
I could see that.
But she has no reason. Like, if it's somebody you don't know.
I mean, also, there are moments, this woman who got the photos from the boyfriend could have, like, deleted those messages right away. You know what I mean?
The woman who what?
So, her boyfriend...
Right.
Is messaging this other woman.
Correct.
So we'll call her the other woman.
Correct.
And that other woman could have deleted these messages as soon as she got them. And then saw...
Why would she delete them if she was going to go tell on him, though?
If she has a boyfriend, right? So what could happen, she could have thought like, oh, I didn't know. The other woman could have thought, I didn't know this man had a girlfriend. She gets these messages. She deletes the messages because the other woman has a boyfriend, and then sees that this guy posts a picture of his girlfriend. And she's like, the other woman says, ooh, I should actually reach out and say this happened, even though I don't have the proof because I got rid of the proof.
Here's the thing about it also. If I was you, the person who wrote in, and somebody did this to me, I feel like somebody did this to me in high school or so, I try to get real charming and buddy-buddy with this other woman, even if it's fake. So that's when you should have been like, girl, really? Like, we've been together so long. Like, what would make you say this? Like, thank you for telling me, sis. What would make you say this? So, because sometimes, like, I've tried to tell a friend, like, girl, just so you know, your man is kind of flirting with people. No, he's not. Why would you say that? No, he's, like, when you get defensive automatically, the other person kind of is like, let me go to the side. But when you're kind of like,
show me proof. That person could be like, you know what?
Whereas sometimes you got to be like, thank you for looking out. Do you have some receipts that I could come to him with? Because I'm going to be confronting him about this. And then maybe they'll be, you know, you catch more flies with honey kind of situation.
I just don't see someone lying, but then also not.
But it's annoying
evidence.
When you don't send evidence, right? Especially if her man was asking you for photos, just screenshot that and send it to me.
Yeah, the evidence is this person's word that you don't know anything about. Yeah, but like, why would, like, what is the motivation of someone randomly texting another woman that your man is cheating?
Or like, could be an ex. It could, you know, it could be an angry ex who got the one that got away.
Yeah, just I don't know.
It could be just she, like, people do try to. I don't know those people. I don't surround myself with those people, but people do try to sometimes, like, they could plotting against your relationship or whatever. So. Yeah, he's cheating though. Something is up.
Well, I don't know. We can't say for sure he's cheating, but it definitely. I'm inclined to.
My rule of thumb is, if I got to go through your phone, or if my instinct tells me I need to go through your messages, you probably cheat on me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it sucks, and this is not your fault at all.
No, of course not.
It's so funny.
It's too many cards up against him. Get
embarrassed by something that they had no control over. This.
Yes, it's too many cards up against him. He's done it in the past. Another girl reached out. Now he's upset that you want to go through his phone. That's three right there.
Yeah.
So even if the other girl aside, he's done things in the past and he's mad about the phone. Girl, get out. You just celebrated your 1 year relationship. 1 year, you could throw a year away.
But it's not even a year away. You probably ended up learning things. So
you can work at a job for a year and say, like, not for me. Going back to my job relationship analogy. Yeah. Anyway, if you have questions for Ben and I about some dating things, about leaving the person you're with, or about maybe proposing, who knows? Please reach out to us on the Fly on the Wall on Instagram. Write those letters, and I'll be obviously collecting them on my Burr I Am personal page. You want to go into Shelfie, the last thing?
Yeah. So what is this?
Wait. Before we, this is a quick one.
What is Shelfie? All right.
Shelfie is
where we talk about the books, TV shows that we've been watching. Sometimes it's trendy. Sometimes it's, you know, not. This week, Amber finished a book.
Yes, that's what I want to talk about first. Thank you. I finished Detransition Baby. I know I've been, what feels like to y'all, I've been reading it for weeks. So good, but I'm so pissed, Ben.
Oh.
What do I hate, Ben?
Unresolved endings.
There are some things
like
that can
our
be,
life.
Yes,
life is unresolved. Yes. So those are the best kind of endings.
Oh, I hate when I finish a book and I was like, wait, no, please, no.
There's nothing else.
And then at the end of the book, there's an interview with the author. So I was like, okay, maybe in the interviewer asked, like, hey, like, I know this kind of is implied, but we're still kind of unsure. Is this going to happen or not? And it's unresolved. And I had such a week of just like many uncertainties about things. So. I almost threw the book across the room because even my book, my fictional book, ended unresolved. So I just was furious.
What's unresolved about it? I haven't read the book, so.
Okay. All right. So we're reading this. I think I talked about Detransition Baby a couple weeks ago, so please don't listen to this if you want to read it. It's so good. You should read it. Okay, so if you remember, it was basically three people essentially going to raise a baby together, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so I'm gonna, I know I do horrible explaining, but just let me get through it. So it's you, it's me, it, sorry, it's you, you're,
Can you just use the characters' names, please? I hate,
sure.
I hate when you point
I know,
at me.
You, would you, just it, let me finish,
I get
just
confused,
let me finish,
I get so confused.
That's how my brain works, just let me finish.
Your brain is confusing.
Yes, of course. I'm a freaking idiot. Like,
you're not an idiot.
Okay, so you are Ames.
So there's a character named Ames.
Let me finish. I'm so sorry. I just said you are Ames. You are Ames. So there's a character named Ames. Yes, that's you. I will get to why this is important. Ames is a trans woman who detransitioned back into a man.
Okay.
So born biological male, is a trans woman, but detransitioned because it was so hard to live life as a trans woman.
Okay.
Okay. I am Reese, a trans woman who was in a, we were in a relationship and we
Ames,
loved each other.
Reese.
Yep. Ames, Reese. And then we broke up.
Ames
and then
Reese,
you got
Reese.
Katrina pregnant.
Ames got Katrina pregnant.
Yeah, you're Ames. You got Katrina pregnant.
Okay.
You didn't think you could because you stopped, you did hormone blockers at one point, so you didn't think your semen would work, but
okay.
It does work, and you got a cisgender
Ames,
woman pregnant.
Born a man, transitions to a woman, detransitions back to a man because
yes.
Society sucks.
Yes.
It's not very kind
yes.
to... Okay.
Now, I'm Reese. I'm a trans woman. I'm so mad at you for detransitioning, and I really want to be a mother.
Correct.
That's one big thing that I really want for myself. I've always wanted, and there have been ways I've tried to be a mother before, but they just didn't work out. Because who is gonna give two trans women a baby? But then you, Ames, you go get some woman pregnant, right? Katrina. Katrina goes to get pregnant.
Sounds good.
Now you are coming back to me. You're kind of like, hey, do you want to help me and Katrina raise this baby?
Right. And they make it make sense in the book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, of course,
so
of course. You could be at home scratching your head, but it really does. Yes,
they're
basically like, obviously, like, we're queer, and this would be like a queer family dynamic, but Katrina needs some help with this baby. You're like, I don't really want a baby, but I know Reese does, so maybe the three of us could raise this baby in a big, happy family.
So the big, what's the unresolved part?
Katrina is thinking about getting an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Because Katrina wants you to promise that you will
Ames.
Stay a
Ames.
Man. Ames.
Oh, so Ames. So Katrina doesn't want Ames to transition back.
Yes. Katrina wants you to be
but
a consistent
Reese,
father figure in this child's life.
But obviously Reese thinks that Ames is not living Ames's
right.
truth. Right.
And Ames finally admits to Katrina like, you admit to Katrina, like, I cannot promise you that I won't transition back to a woman again because I'm a woman. I feel.
Yeah, that's who Ames is.
So Katrina's like, if you don't stay a man, like, I'm going to
get
an
abortion.
Like, this is what.
So that's where it comes to. So you don't know if she has the kid or not.
So she, at the end of the book, they're all together. The abortion, Reese is devastated because she's kind of grieving, like, this is the one child I thought I was going to. Be a part of their life and help raise them in this like.
So Katrina decides to have an abortion.
Katrina books the abortion appointment and Reese agrees to go to the abortion. They all agree to go to the abortion clinic together.
Together.
But they have this like conversation before and they all just like hold hands.
And that's the end of the story.
Yes. So you don't, they don't go to the clinic.
I think the, who is this? Tori Peters
yes.
wrote it. I think Tori Peters, if you go back and reread it, I bet there's, a good hint that tells you
that they don't get the abortion, right?
Or they do. I bet there's if you read if
stressful.
You should go, maybe go back and reread it. Or there's probably some great think pieces like go on YouTube.
Yeah,
but
it could go, it literally could go either way based on the pages.
So
like that's how brilliant the writing is.
So this is where I think this kind of writing sort of tricks you because it makes you think that this is a story about. A major decision. Do you get an abortion or do you don't?
No, it's
but
not about
ultimately,
that.
Ultimately, the story is about the kind of societal pressure that
yes.
people put on us.
And
the
even
expectations
me, Reese,
around parenting.
Me, Reese, or, is also
Reese.
Struggling. Reese. I'm Reese. I'm the trans woman who wants the baby, but
okay,
it's out of my control. I am struggling with feelings of conservatism because I am angry that she might abort my baby.
Yeah.
Yes. And so this character is acknowledging that. This character is like, hey, Ames is like, I've lived my whole life trying to please everyone else around me. So Katrina, you need to decide if you want to keep this baby or not, but I cannot promise you that I will always be who you see me as today. Because I live my life in flux. Reese also recently had a suicide attempt in the book too, because I just feel my family slipping away, and I can't bear that.
So, yeah, wow.
It's heavy, right?
Yeah.
But the abortion appointment was booked, and I don't know.
I might have to read it. I don't really read realistic fiction.
You don't.
Like this.
You gotta read the last page with me.
More to metaphor. So if I'm gonna read a trans story or learn about a trans story, I'll just go watch all the Matrix movies.
I just know the appointment was. It's so interesting because you would read a trans story and you would assume it was just about like gender and gender affirming speaking and thoughts and pills and all of this kind of stuff, but it's also about like a transition to motherhood is a trans story, you know? It's a huge change. So it's just a book about tons of different kinds of transition of life transitions as well. Mm-hmm. So like transitioning from teaching high school to our new lives where we're like investing in ourselves and daily confronted with like believing in myself is an element of a trans story there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's such a rich pairing. It's like wine and cheese to pair this story of like birth and motherhood with this story of a body changing and you not feeling comfortable in your own skin. It's just so good. Whew, I thought that was gonna be a quick. What you reading? You still reading Pandora Star?
Well,
I'm gonna talk about this in a second. But you?
No, I don't want to talk about what I'm reading. Let's talk about. And Just Like That.
Oh my gosh.
So
all right.
Amber
so
is watching And Just Like That.
I'm currently watching And Just Like That,
season
which is
two.
The you know, reimagined version of Sex in the City. Of course, we're missing the goddess Kim Cattrall.
It's not reimagined, it's a direct sequel.
Sorry.
It's just a sequel.
It's kind of there is an element of reimagining the story, even though the characters have the same names. There's
that's
an element.
That's misleading. Reimagining means that you take a story and then tell the same exact story. So a reimagining of Sex and the City would be like, let's take Carrie Bradshaw as a 30-year-old woman living today in New York for the first time. Where it's Carrie Bradshaw.
Well, I'll say that's what the fuck we thought we was going to get, but it's been definitely a sequel because the OG Sex and the City had more like sex jokes and funny puns and drama, and this season has definitely been feeling like just drama.
Well, because I think as you get older,
yeah,
that's sort of what happens. That's why it's not called Sex and the City. It's called And Just Like That.
And just right. I agree.
And just like that, we've gotten older. What we care about has changed.
Yeah.
Now we have
trends
kids.
Have changed.
Like we can't go out and just.
Speech has changed. Yes. So the season. So I will say that the season got slammed a little bit last year because this is the second season. The season kind of got slammed last week for being like air quote too woke. I'm so tired of people calling things too woke. That's literally not what woke means. Like woke was a term that has now been co-opted by everybody, but it at first was just for Black people and like be aware of, you know, how the government and how the man and how like, you know, be aware, have a level of consciousness when it comes to racial consciousness. And now that has been the new norm for like.
You have a
woke
have
has been
trans,
co-opted as political correctness. Yeah.
Yeah. You put a trans person in this story.
Like it's too woke. It's like what? Woke was like.
Or
about
you put
racial
a non-binary character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's weird that now that word has been stolen. But I don't. It's so annoying that that's people's argument about it because it's like trends change. What people talk about change. Like this can't be the same old thing that it was back in the 90s. Like it can't be. Like we already told that story. Now these women are older. Trends and stuff are changing around them. So it kind of got slammed for being air quote too woke last year. Now this season, I will say, has started off. I started spite watching it because everybody was blasting it on Twitter. I don't even Twitter. I've just seen memes from Twitter on other platforms about how cringy this season is.
Yeah.
And
X, I think it's called now. I think they just changed the name to X.
What's X?
They changed the name of Twitter to X.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. I think it's just called X.
Who calls it that?
Elon Musk. He just changed it. like recently as of
what
today. Keep going, keep going.
You're the ones sideswipe me. Okay, so whatever the handle is called now. So everybody was talking shit about and just like that. But I've been watching this season. I will admit it's been a little directionless. It feels like each episode could be watched. Like you could just watch episode 5. You'll understand everything that's going on.
Standalone, yeah.
Where there was more of like overarching story arcs and stuff like that. But I just finished episode 6, Bomb Cyclone. And I loved it. I even sat down and made you watch that episode with me. Of course, things are like campy and unrealistic as well. But I think we're like the season started off slow and now it's about to like be really fun.
Okay, yeah.
But there are some things that the OG Sex and the City had that I'm like, bring this back. More of the fashion. Like there was a scene at the end of the first episode this season where they were about to go to the Met Gala. So we got to see their looks quickly and then the episode ended. We're like, what are you doing? Take us to the Met. We want to see people on the carpet. We want to see
the
looks.
You're more like a Sex and the City conservative. You want to conserve what made Sex and the City great.
There are some elements of
make
this
Sex and the
is...
City great again type of thing.
No,
that's what you are doing right now.
But what Sex and the City did so well, and the same writer is on this show. He's been with the show, 20, 30 plus years. What was so great about the series was that these women were funny, hilarious, and open and honest about discussing sex. So it's just so frustrating now when Carrie is like, oh, I can't say the word vagina. That's insane. I'm like, this is not the Carrie we knew. The Carrie we knew was like on her typewriter, smoking a cigarette, talking about how somebody's sperm tasted. Samantha Jones as well. So now with Samantha gone, it's a little bit more like prudish in some ways.
So I would,
even with their age, even as they age beautifully, of course.
I would argue, though, that saying vagina is a little bit different than writing it. For example, she feels uncomfortable talking about these kinds of things on a podcast, but she felt very comfortable writing on it because the pen and the paper became this sort of barrier. When you're saying this stuff out loud, it was fine when you're sitting with your four friends drinking wine at lunch. And I think for a lot of people, it's appropriate to write about this in a sex column, which is a very, isolated place where talking about it publicly on a podcast feels a little bit different. When I think that's disorienting for maybe like an older writer.
I get
like
that,
Harry.
But Carrie was a writer at Vogue. Like she, it's not like, well, it's a sex column. Nobody saw it. Like, no, she was writing in she was a high profile writer in New York.
Right. But when you buy, it's just, I think it might be
different. You're just saying like saying it versus
I wish they explored it that a little bit more where Carrie would acknowledge that saying something, I'm a writer, saying it out loud is different than writing it and making that like
right.
Yeah, when people pick up Vogue, they expect to read a sex column. Like this is obviously a sex column. When you're doing a podcast, things can sort of go right or left, and you have this sort of this short clip that can be used for whatever nefarious purposes.
Yeah, it just feels even the incidences and the shenanigans they get themselves into this season specifically just feel a little less relatable, like far and far. It's like our big decision today is my Birkin got stolen and we want the perfect house in the Hamptons. You're like, it's kind of always been this, but it was a little bit more high stakes and relatable.
Mm.
But now it's like we cannot relate to your Birkin.
Talk
your
to
Birkin
me about this
stolen.
Like freaking... spite watching phenomenon. What is this? I don't understand. Spite watch.
I'm not hate watching. People hate watch things.
Hate watch.
People are like, this is so cringy. Next episode, I need to watch it so I can just like see how horrible it is. I feel like people did that with like The Idol, that new show on Max with like Lily Rose Depp and The Weeknd.
Okay.
So like you're hearing rumors and you're hearing reviews about how bad it is.
So people watch it for how bad it.
Yeah, and you almost kind of want to see for yourself. It's like Jerry Springer. You're like, this is so bad. Let me just see how bad it is.
Yeah, I guess.
And I thought I was about to start spite watching and hate watching it, and I've actually, I'm like,
they're doing something different.
Like they're doing something interesting with this. I'm gonna keep watching.
Yeah,
I'm not just gonna hop on the hate train.
What is the difference between spite and hate watching? with, you know, watching for bad camp. So, for example, there's a great movie called Santa Claus Invades the Martians.
Okay.
Or you watch any, you know, Mystery Science Theater 3000, where these people watch these really terrible older
like
movies.
Cult, yeah.
And they talk the back at the screen. They write jokes and they're funny, but that doesn't feel like spite or hate watching. You're sort of making fun of it and enjoying it. Where something modern, like The Idol, where someone means it to be serious and you're like gonna watch it hatefully, that seems different than watching it for comedy, you know? Like,
I mean, I enjoyed Sex in the, I don't think I'm hate watching it now, like, yeah, I said, like, I enjoyed Sex
that.
In the City. I enjoyed last season of And Just Like That. Of course, some things are kind of like, wow, this whole episode is about Carrie getting a hip replacement. Sex in the City has definitely changed, but you're right, it's not a sequel.
It's And Just Like That,
I know, but it's so hard to not. Like, it's literally all the same characters, all the same story. We're just missing Samantha Jones, and obviously, like, they killed Big off.
I'm going to say it again. You're a Sex and the City conservative.
And now they're about to, like, bring an old character back.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, only the name has changed. Like, literally. Yeah. And Samantha, you know what I was thinking about also? Okay, I'm not sure if you remember this, but Samantha Jones at one point she had many love interests during the season, but most notably Smith Jared was her big, like, you know,
he was
the person
she
was in a relationship with. Smith Jared was his name in the movie, in the series, and he was also an actor because Samantha was his publicist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember him.
What's probably frustrating is, like, the actor who plays Smith Jared hearing that And Just Like That is coming back and now seeing, like, well, I can't even fucking be a part of it because your motherfucking ass don't want to do the show. Like, yeah. I just wanted to be a fly on the wall when Smith Jarrett heard Kim Cattrall wasn't coming back. So he's like,
damn,
this is my biggest gig. Like, what the fuck do you mean you're not coming back? That's like Batman being like, I don't want to do it. And Robin's like, bitch, why?
Yeah.
Why? I need the money.
You can do a Nightwing or Bat. You know, Robin does get some of his own things.
Does he?
Yeah. He gets his own comics where they just follow Robin's story. Mm-hmm.
And how do those turn out?
Some of them are okay. Just not as big as Batman. You're right. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, Robin becomes Nightwing and then the old Batman, you know, comes out, you know, as Robin. At one point, Robin turns into one of the Jokers.
I just think about that all the time. Even when we decide to, Jason Lewis is this actor's name. So this is his most notable role. Like, I honestly haven't seen him in much else. He's been in a lot of films, but, I mean, did you see Half Magic? Did you see Running Wild? Did you see Textuality? Did you see My Bollywood Bride? Did you see these films?
Yeah.
So this was a really big thing for him where he was kind of like a principal. Oh, he did Dancing with the Stars in 2022.
Yeah.
He was on an episode of Beauty and the Baker in 2014. So this is his, like, breakout role. CSI crime investigation. I mean, like, I would be so pissed if I was Jason Lewis because this is his bread and butter right here. And now he kind of even can't even be a part of it.
He can't do any of that, unfortunately.
Well, I think about that when a musician gets canceled. And so people decide not to listen to that musician's music. It's like, what about the producer that produced all these records?
Oh, the producers, anybody else who had good contracts.
You're like, I'm the songwriter. Right, yeah. Right. I think about, like, the sound engineer, like this wave of people that are also like, great, so you get canceled and now that affects everybody's pockets.
Or even just an individual canceled and all their children, you know, if they have kids or something, now their kids are sort of completely fucked.
Yeah, but of course I feel bad about that, but I'm like, those people were in the home with you and they still might live in the mansion that you live in even though you're like silent. Like, mm-hmm. The sound engineer at the studio, he was counting on that check to raise his family. He had literally nothing to do with this. He showed up to work and now your ass canceled. Anyway, you ready to get out of here?
Yeah, so
I'm just rambling. Keep watching it just like that. It's on Max. I'm still having a good time. The fashion is still great. Nicole Ari Parker is a great addition to the show. So is the actress that plays Seema. I'll find her name in a second. Did you enjoy that episode I showed you? Bomb Cycle?
I did.
Bomb Cyclone?
Yeah, I watched Bomb Cyclone.
I cried to it.
It was fine.
I was like, oh.
It was emotional. It was great.
Yeah, but and it gave me that feel of like, okay, this is why we watch this show.
It's not Rick
like,
and Morty or the Futurama, which is just came back. So it's not great. It's not,
and just like Rick and Morty.
It's not like Lord of the Rings.
No, it is not. Thank God for that. Anyway, thank y'all so much for listening to another episode of Fly on the Wallin. Oh, before we get out of here, please watch They Cloned Tyrone, directed by Jewel Taylor, on Netflix. Yes. We will be discussing They Cloned Tyrone next week, and we want to spoil. We're going to spoil. So watch They Cloned Tyrone for the Shelfie segment, and we will see y'all next week for the show. Bye, y'all.
You know they're from TikTok, because those laughs keep you coming, because they're wildin' all the time. Before wild throws a tantrum, listen to our silly anthem, 'cause they're wildin' all the time. Don't swap while Amber squats and does her dance to please her plants, and Ben reads books while serving looks. Wild is wildin' all the time. Fly, fly, oh to be a fly. Fly, fly, come and be a fly on the wall.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miroboard. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miroboard?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.